But rather than go through the rest of Siman Yutes, which we really didn't learn, maybe we should chazed a few blot Gemara from the beginning of Chulin. The opening Mishnah starts off with a puzzling statement that's self-contradictory. Ha'kol shochtem mishchitos am kshera. Sounds like l'chatchila, anybody and everybody can shecht. It's going to be qualified chutz mecheru shetavikodin, chutz minachri. Okay, but it starts off, anybody and everybody can shecht, and b'dievet, everybody shchit is good. So the Gemara says, it's an inner contradiction. So the Gemara gave, I think we had six interpretations of the Mishnah. So the first interpretation, so we got six, it starts from the middle of Amud Beis. So before you get to the six interpretations, the Gemara has a long footnote, which throws you off, a whole footnote for a whole Amud Gemara. The Gemara goes into a side point. How do you know that the expression Hakol Shochtem has the connotation of L'chatchila? Maybe it also means B'diyevet. So the Gemara says, it says Hakol Memirim, everybody makes Temura. It doesn't mean that everybody L'chatchila is permitted to make Temura. It's a prohibition. It's an Issa to make Temura. So the Gemara says, no. There it says, Hasim Kiriktonitim, Lo Shodim Asher, Lo Hamer, Lo Shim Hemim, Muvim, Besavik, Saboim. Then the Mishnah qualifies it right away. It says, Hakol Memirim doesn't mean L'chatchila. Hakol Memirim would have meant L'chatchila, but since it says, Lo Shodim Asher, Lo Hamer, Lo Shim Hemim, Muvim, Besavik, Saboim, that clearly does not have that meaning. What about the Mishnah, Hakol Marichim, Vahakol Ne'erochim, Hakol Nodrim, just what do the words mean? So Rashi explains, based on yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah, yesterday's Parsha, that there's Domim and there's Erchen. Erchen you give, depending whether the person, I say either Erki Alai or Erko Alai. So the Nerach, you have to determine whether it's a man or a woman and what age they are. And the Chumash tells you how much you pay. And even if the person is a Mukeshchin, Rashi says, and he's worthless, if you would try to sell him as an Eved Hanimke Bashuk, no one would be interested in buying him because he's so so disgusting looking. As a mukeshchin, his limbs are falling off, and so on. He can't do any work for you. He can't serve as a worker, as a servant in the house. Still, erchin he has, unless he's we had in the chumash. Unless he's a mishan nigmadina lemisa. There's no erchin for a dead person. Let's say a person died at the age of 25. I say erko alai. You don't say, well, he's 25, so how much can... and he's a male, dead body, so on dead people there's no erchen. So the Chumash has a din, we learned in the end of the Parshas B'chul Kaisai, that if a person was Nigma Dina Lemisa, he's considered a Gavrek Tilo, so whoever is a Gavrek Tilo, so there's no erch at all, he's considered as if he's dead. But if he's not, let's say, Nigma Dina Lemisa, he's just a Mukashchin, he's worthless, so he doesn't have damim, but he does have erchin. So that's why it says, Hakol ma'arichim, even a mukashchin. Then it says that what? Hakol nodrim. What's the chiddush? Hakol nodrim. If I say domov alai, Hakol nidorim. If I say domov alai, even though he's a cotton pachas mi ben chodesh, and he doesn't have any erich, ein erich le pachas mi ben chodesh. But nonetheless, if I say Dama Valai, so you estimate Kam Hu Shovalim Kabashuk, how much would he sell for on the marketplace if it would be an Eved Hanim Kabashuk? What kind of an Eved? That's a Machlekes, but Eved Ivri and Eved Kanaini. That's a Machlekes, Rashi and the Rosh, in the beginning of Perak Achevel, that you pay Nezik, Tsari, Pishavis, and Boshes, pay Nezik, Kam Hu Shovalim Kabashuk. How much would the Nechbal have been worth if you were to sell him as an Eved before the Havala? And how much is he worth now after you've done the chavala? And the differential is how much you have to pay for nezik. That's always nezik like that. Let's say I crashed into your automobile, and the amount that the mechanic is going to charge to fix it is going to be $5,000. That's not how much you have to pay, but there is nezik. You have to estimate, you have to assess how much would the automobile, you have a second-hand automobile, you've been using it for the last 14 years. So how much would the automobile sell for before I crashed into it? How much would it sell for after I crashed into it? The expenses, the amount of money that it would cost to fix it is going to be $5,000. I'm not mechuyif to pay that. I just pay the differential. So by nezik also, you pay the differential. So there's a machlokes Rashi and Rosh. Do you estimate kamu hayoshavalim kabashuk as an eved ivri? Because it's a Jewish person that I was chayvel in. So he can't sell himself as an eved knaini. Or do you say, no, that's a technicality that Allah says he can't sell himself alive. can only sell himself a sheish and then a rayovim and so on. But he's really worth the same amount that a nochri would be able to get if he were to sell himself the olivot. So that same machloik is Rashi in the Rosh. Rashi usually represents the shitas Bali HaTosfos. So the same machloik is Rashi in the Rosh seems to be a machloik is Rashi in Tosfos legabi domim. When you say dom of alai and you pay, you assess kamahu shavalim kabashuk, if he would be an eved on nimkalashuk, what kind of an eved? Rashi again would insist an eved ivri. And the Tosfos seems to say Tosfos in Kiddushin. The first pack seems to hold that it's an eved knani. So again, so the Mishnah says, hakol ma'arichim, even a mukashchin, even though it has no domim. And hakol nidorim means even if he's a katan pachas bin ben chodesh, that's how Rashi points out, and he has no erchin, he still has domim. And you can have erchin even though there's no domim, you can have domim even though there's no erchin. So that Mishnah, does that mean lechatchila hakol nodrim, hakol v'hakol marichim? Does that mean lechatchila? So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Well, we have a famous pasuk that says, "Tova shalatina mishitida v'loy tishalem." With Tanya, we have a Tosefta where it records the machleg zameir Rabbi Yehuda. What's tov mizeh mizeh sheinu noida kolikar? Tov mizeh mizeh noida u'mishalem. So it's a machleg of satanoim. So usually we assume Rameir Rabbi Yehuda alachik Rabbi Yehuda going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that what tov mizeh mizeh. Rarely do we pass like Rabbi Meir when he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Most of the time we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Tov mizeh mizeh. No, the Mishalim. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda only said it if he says Harei Zu, not if he says Harei Alai. Says Harei Alai, says Harei Zu, here it is. So it's probably, there's less of a chance that he's going to be forgetting about it. Here it is, going to give it over to Hegdash. Still a chance that he may forget to give it, but less of a chance. Going to say Harei Alai, people take Nedarim and Shul and they forget about paying up the Nedarim, Harei Alai. So that's how the Gemara suggests. That's how we assume within Rabbi Yehuda. We assume like Rabbi Yehuda, and we assume Rabbi Yehuda only said Tov Mizeh Mizeh. No der or Mishalem is not no der. It should say no dev. It's not exactly no der means Harei Alai. No dev means Harei Zu. So the Gemara says, but the Mishnah says there in Erechin, Hakol no dream vaHakol marichim, and you're telling me Hakol sounds like lechatchila, and it can't be because Harei Alai, because there is no Harei Zu in Domim and in Erechin, it's always going to be a Harei Alai. It's not going to be a Harei Zu. So when it says there in the Mishnah, Hakol Nodrim, it doesn't mean Lechatchila. That's only going to be B'di'evit. So that's how the Gemara proves that just because it has Hakol Shochtim doesn't necessarily. So what was your kash in the first place? What do we need six terutzim on a stira? There's no stira in the first place. Hakol shochtim, maybe it only means b'di'evit. Who says that it means lechatchila? In the Mishnah there, hakol nodrim and hakol marichim does not mean lechatchila. Lechatchila is not proper, because even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rabbi Meir that to say Harei Alai is improper. We're afraid that he may make a mistake. The Eis Tzora, Tosis quotes on the base. Yidi Yankif Neda Lemor. Why does it say Lemor? Yidab Hashem Moshe Lemor. So the Gemara in Yuma says that the word Lemor means Lemor Lacherim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu permission and authorization, and he required of him that he should tell over all the dinim to Bnei Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have said Lema Li Yisrael, so it would have been self-understood that Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to divulge the secret, is not allowed to tell any dinim to us. But Hashem told him Lema, Lema Yisrael. So what does it mean? Vayida Yaik Neda Lema. What does it mean Lema? So the Medrash says, the Medrash Rabbi says, Lema Ladiris. Vayuda Yankif Neder. Yankif Avina took a Neder when he was running away from Esav. He took a Mekabla on himself to give Tzedakah. Lema Ladiris, to teach the Jewish people and all the future generations that Mitzvah Lida be Esar. It's a Mitzvah Lida or it's a permitted Mitzvah Lida be Esar. That's how the Mashgiach and the Yeshiva always used to say. Rosh Hashanah, the Bali Musi say Rosh Hashanah on a Kabbalah is Nishkin Rosh Hashanah. If you enter, you have to have New Year's resolutions. If you're not mekabel anything, we'll cover Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is an Eis Tzara. So you have to be mekabel something. You have to be mekabel reasonable things. You're going to be mekabel to learn 5,000 blot a year. You shouldn't be mekabel such difficult things. Mekabel always to be mavasedra every week and to give a little stoken to make sure you come to minyan on time. To be mekabel reasonable things that are not too difficult. But it's a mitzvah lida be eis tzor. So again, if it's not an eis tzor, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir that you're not supposed to say Harei Alai, you should only say Harei Zu. So that Mishnah in Erechin is only b'diyevet. So how do you know that you have a problem over here in the first place? The Gemara says, no, because it has to be lechatchila, because it says already, let it just have one line, hakol shchitos and kshera. Kol ha-sheichet shchitos and kshera. It doesn't say hakol ha-sheichet shchitos and kshera. It says hakol shochtim u-shchitos and kshera. So it sounds like the second half means that b'diyevet, everybody shchita is good. Chutz mecheru shaita v'kotim v'akum. It says hakol shchitos and kshera, but then it's hakol shochtim. So by contrast, you see that the first half of the Mishnah means lachatchila, the second half means b'diyevet. So you have to say it over here. It doesn't always apply. The rule does not always apply in all Mishnah, just because hakol osim kachvakach doesn't necessarily mean that it's lachatchila. But here in our Mishnah, based on the context, has to mean like that. So that's the contradiction in our Mishnah. So the Gemara proceeds to give six interpretations. So the first one was Rabbi Ba'ula. He says the Mishnah is alluding to a tomei. Hakol shochtim, a tomei is permitted to shecht chulin lechatchila, and a kotchim shchitos and ksheret b'diyeved. Lechatchila tomei should not shecht kotchim. Gzeir Hashem yiga bebasar. And what's wrong? Yiga bebasar, he'll be metami the basar. If he's a tomei, he'll be metami the basar. So lechatchila we say there's a din of mishmeres trumaisai. Rashi quotes. There's a din of mishmeres trumaisai. Where's the Rashi? Rani Rashi quotes Bamidbo Yudches, about 15 lines from the bottom of base on the base. But he has in parentheses Bamidbo Yudches. Bani Hinengi Satal Chos Mishmeres Trumaisai, Alma Be'inon Shmire. So by Truma there's a din of Shmire, you have to be careful to see to it that it shouldn't become Tame. So if by Truma there's such a din, so by Kachim there's certainly such a din. It's a Kavachimah. So the requirement of Mishmeres applies to Truma, Kavachimah, that it applies to Kachim. So lechatchila we wouldn't permit a tomei to shecht in kochim. The first tesis on Beis Amud Aleph quotes a Mishnah in Zvachim. You have a list of people who are not allowed to do avodas hakarbonis. A tomei and a balmum and a kohenes, and one is not wearing big dikun and yoshev if he's sitting, a whole bunch of people. So they're not allowed to do avoda, and if they do avoda, it's possible. So that the Mishnah legabi avoda. Avoda means kabbalah haylocha zrika. Haktora, fine. But then it says, Kol apsulim sheshochtu, if they do shchita, shchita kshere bizarre, because shchita lav avoida. Shchita is not the same kind of an avoida. Shchita is an avoida, but it's not to the same extent as kabbalah halacha zrika. In Haktora, that we say that if one of the psulim does it, it's no good. So the Mishnah says, all of the psulim who were listed in the previous Mishnah, that b'dievet, if they do an avoida, it's possible, you have to repeat it, all the psulim don't apply to shchita. Shchita would be good. So the more comments, why does it say it's only good b'diyevet? The psulim can do shchita lechatchila. A zar can shecht lechatchila, and a balmum can shecht lechatchila, and an isha can shecht lechatchila. Why does it say b'diyevet? So the Gemara says b'diyevet is because of tamei. One of the people listed there, that if he does avoda b'diyevet, it's possible. And here it says b'diyevet, if he does shchita is kosher, that's tamei. So tamei lechatchila shouldn't shecht. That's one of the kashas that the Gemara has against Rabbi Barula. Why do you need two Mishnais to say the same thing? The Gemara has 10 lines from the bottom of base on the base. Freg the Gemara, Tomei b'mugdoshim mehoche nafke. It's learned that from our Mishnah, that b'diyevet it's good and l'chatchila it's not allowed. Mehosem nafke. That's not the Mishnah in Zvochim that says, Kol ha-psulim sheshoch t'shchitos and kshero, sheshchit ha-kshero b'zar b'noshim b'avodim b'tameim afilu b'kotchi kotchim. And it's, why does it say b'diyevet? It's only because of the tummy. All the other people are mutar lechatchila. That was Tosis right, that an ishik shere lishchot lechatchila afilu kotchim. Haken Elder Adoni, the only Rishonim quote this mysterious figure in the days of the Gaonim. He claims that he came from the other side of Nahar Sambatyon. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin there's a Nahar Sambatyon that throws off rocks all week long. It throws out rocks. And on Shabbos it's calm. So, and a Jew can't go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos, and all week long is throwing off rocks. So how did he come from the other side of the Sambatyon? The Jews, the Goyim can cross over on Shabbos, they can go chutz l'tchum, the Jews can't go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos. So how did he come from the other side of the Sambatyon to civilization? Or to the uncivilized world, whatever you call it, whatever it is over there and over here. How did he cross over to the Sambatyon? That's what he claims. He came from the other side of the Sambatyon. There's something missing in the story. There's a lot missing in the story. So he came with this sefer that supposedly was written by Yeshua ben Nun. And it starts off, Amar Yeshua mipi Moshe mipi Hagvura. And he goes to all of Hilchas Shechit, and he has all these wild dinim. That's what, it's questionable if the name of the Sefer is really Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. That's how Tosis calls it. Or maybe the Baruch Epstein suggests in his autobiography as a chapter with all of the things that he thinks are misprints, so he thinks that this is also a misprint. He thinks this was Hilchas Amar Yeshua. And they wrote a Rashi Tevis Aleph Yud, and the later printers couldn't figure out what in the world is Aleph Yud. So Aleph Yud is Eretz Yisrael. So they filled in the Rashi Tevis wrong, Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. He thinks it's supposed to be Hilchas Amar Yeshua, because those are the two, you look in the Mordechai, those are the two opening words in this book that supposedly was written by Yeshua ben Nun, that was brought by Yaldar Adoni. So he has all these wild demons. So he says that in Isha, we don't permit a woman to shech because Nashim Daitan Kalas. Nashim Daitan Kalas in the Gemara has to do with Znus. Nashim are always thinking about Znus. What does it have to do with shechting behemoth? So he doesn't mean Daitan Kalas. Means they don't know Hilcha Shechita. They got smicha from the seminary. What do you mean they don't know? They know better than the Masmich. They know Hilcha Shechita better than the man who gave them the smicha. Who says that? Maybe say they're not strong enough to hold down an animal. Okay, say that they're not chashina la'alufei. We're not sure exactly what he means. So Tosafot says whatever he meant is wrong, because the Gemara says that Mishnah is Rochim, that says that b'diyeved shchitosim k'sheira, it only says b'diyeved because of Tomei, not because of Isha. Isha meishach kodshim l'hatchila. So kal v'chama chulin. Unless you say with some twist, or some imaginative twist, that chulin, a woman, is not allowed to shecht, and kachem, she is allowed to shecht. That's how Rabbi Ruchem Pella comes up with such an einfall, but all the Rishonim think that it's unreasonable. So again, so the Gemara says that the Rabbi Barula understands the Mishnah, hakol shochtim, atome me shecht lechatchile bechulin, v'shchitosim k'sherif, lechatchila tami shenat shech kachim zereshem yige bebasa, because if he'll be metami the basa, he won't be able to eat it. So lechatchila you have to make a harchoke, you have to make a siog that the tami shenat shech bekachim because of mishmeres tremaisai. The pasuk that Rashi quotes from Bamid Bo Yudches from the end of Parshas Korach, that applies to kachim with a kal v'chomer, and tami bechulin is muta to shech lechatchila. And you're not afraid shemihiga bebasa. What do you mean you're not afraid shemihiga bebasa? So let him touch the basa. What's the problem? Let him touch the basa. Mar says, no, Rabbi Barula interprets that the first line in the Mishnah, Hakol Shechtim, is talking about Shecht and Chulin, which were nasu altaris HaKadosh. What in the world does that mean, Chulin, shenasu altaris HaKadosh? What it means is that people, probably Kohan, and people who live in Yerushalayim, and they're always in the habit, they're always in the practice of eating karbanas, so they always have to be careful that they should be tahor. They have to be careful not to eat any oichel that's tomei. Min haTorah, oichel that's tomei cannot be metamei a human being. But mid rabbanon there is a din that if you eat oichelim tmeim or mashkim tmeim, that causes you to become tomei. Oichelim tmeim, mashkim tmeim makes you tomei. Mid rabbanon. So here we're talking about a person, a kohen probably, who's always hanging around the Beis HaMikdash. He lives in the neighborhood, and he's always eating korbanos. So he will be in the practice of eating even chulin al taras hakodesh. He's going to eat chulin, always practicing as if it were kodesh to make sure that he shouldn't become tamei, and he should eat the kachim b'tahara. What is this chulin shenas al taras hakodesh? This is a din midirabbanan, that midirabbanan, one who is and very involved, very active in eating korbanos, midirabbanan is obligated to eat chulin al taras hakodesh. Or is it only a minik? That's very unclear. That's what we mentioned. The Mikdash David raises the question, and it's unclear whether the din of chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh kekodesh dami, that you have to observe this takedim of the rabbanon. You have to observe as if the chulin were kodesh. It's a din of the rabbanon that's required, or it's only a minik. And the Gemara has a machlokes. Rabbi Bar Ula holds chulin shenas al taras hakodesh kekodesh damu. You're not allowed to be metame yet. You have to be careful not to be metame. But a tame is permitted to shecht chulin al nas al taras hakodesh. He's permitted to shecht lachatchila. We're not goyzer shem yigeh bebasa. You don't have to be goyzer over there. The other Amoraim hold the whole thing doesn't make any sense at all. The Gemara on Gimel and Beis, after they sum up, after they review all the six interpretations in the Mishnah, so they have to explain how come nobody agrees with the other one. Six pshatim and one line in the Mishnah. How come pshat number one doesn't agree with pshat number two? How come number two doesn't agree with number one? So the Gemara says, nobody agrees with the first one, Rabbi Ba'ula, the whole thing is wrong. What does it mean, lavki kodesh dami? So according to the first suggestion of the Mikdash David, is a din mid the rabbanon. That's a gzeir mid the rabbanon. You have to. Those who are always in the Beis Hamikdash, almost every other day, and they're always eating kachim, they are obligated mid the rabbanon to eat all of the chulin al taras hakodesh. So the other one holds it doesn't make sense. You have no right to make such a gzeir the rabbanon. It's too far fetched a chashash. Too much of a chumrah. It's too far fetched of a chashash. That's if you hold chulin shenas al taras hakodesh dami is a din the rabbanon. So all the other Amarim, all the other five Pshatim don't accept the first Pshat, the Rabbi Barula. They hold that you have no right to make such a Gzera de Rabbanon, like we had in Perek Kol HaBasar, that most of the Tanoim were of the opinion that Basar B'chala by chicken is only Midir Rabbanon, and they had a Machlekes, it doesn't make sense to make a Nisa de Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi Aglili held that it doesn't make sense. Who's going to confuse chicken with flesh? They're two different things. And you have no right to make a Gzera de Rabbanon if you don't have a good cause. You have to have a good reason. You have to have a real chashash. If you make a gzera de rabbanon without a valid consideration, without a valid reason, then you're in violation of Bal Tosef. The Beis Din has no right to add on. Have a right to add on. And shmarta mis mishmati, asu mishmeres lo mishmati. If there's a gzera kreva, there's a real chashash. A milsa de lo shchicha, you're afraid if you'll allow people to cook chicken with milk, the next thing you know, people are going to cook flesh with milk. Who's going to confuse flesh with chicken? Rabbi Yosef really holds you have no right to make a gzera de rabbanon. And we pass on there is such a gzera de rabbon. So if you all chulin shenas al taras hakodesh is a din de rabbanon, so then we understand it's a machlokes amaroim, Rabbi Barula against the other five amaroim, whether it makes sense or not. The others all chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, lavki kodesh dami, doesn't make sense to make sure it's a gzera de rabbon. If you hold that chulin shenas al taras hakodesh ki kodesh dami is only a minig. So then what's the machlokes? What are they fighting about? Kikodesh dami, lav kikodesh dami? Marim shech, if you have a minig, you have a minig. The answer is that if you have a minig shtus, so it's not binding. So that's the machlokes. Is this a minig shtus? Or is this what we call a minig basikin? So Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchas Purim. It says when you clap haman, so sometimes you'll miss some words from the Balkari. So it's really a minig. The minig, the clap haman, is a problematic minig. It's a questionable minig. So Ramah says you shouldn't be ma'ara on the minhagim. It's a holy minig, and you should follow it. So the Magen Avraham there gives you a couple of klolim about minhagim, when you do follow, when you don't follow. So he quotes the expression from the Masechah Sofrim, you only follow a minig if it's a minig basikin. If it has the approval of Tamir HaChachamim and Tzadikim and Chassidim Anshei Maisa. Minig has to have the approval of the local rabbanim. Also, the Balabatim start a minig, and they never consulted the rabbis. So Moshe Feinstein quotes a Gemara in the first parak in Baba Basra. But the Gemara says if there's a Talmid Chachma who lives in the city and they didn't consult him when they started the minig, so that minig is not has no validity. Minig has to have, if you have Rabbanim, so the minig is only binding if it has the approval of the Rabbanim. It has to be a minig vasikin. You have a machlokes hatanoim about doing malacha erev Pesach in the morning. Whether you're allowed to do malacha erev Pesach after Chatzos, we're allowed to do malacha erev Pesach in the morning, the first daf himsochem on daf beis on the beis. So the Gemara has, on the assumption that you're not allowed to do malacha in the morning, when does the Issa malacha begin? Does it begin at Kros HaGever? Does it begin Alos HaShachar? Does it begin Hanetzach HaMa? When does the Issa malacha begin? So Tosis and Rashi have a discussion over there. What are the Tanoim debating over here? They're debating what a minig is. Ask the Balabatim, what's the minig? Look in the Sifrei HaMenhagim, what is the minig? Ascertain. So it must be that they're debating the whole that's a din de rabbanon, that you're not allowed to do a malach, it's a real din de rabbanon, and they're arguing what makes sense to make a din de rabbanon. And other Rishonim, they're saying, no, it's a minig, and if Rashi learns it's a minig. So Tosfos says a minig, so find out what the minig is. What's the problem? So Rashi holds no. It's a minig, and the shaila is it a minig shtus or is it a minig vasikin? So the Tanaim had a machlekes. The minig doesn't make sense to aser in the middle of the day. The iser to do malacha should start from hanetzach hama. So it must be the minig has to begin from alos hashachar. You never have any dinim that begin with hanetzach hama. So you see the ragimar is here and there, where we assume minhagim have to be investigated. You have to check, and if it's a minig shtus, and the minig is not binding. So that's according to the assumption that according to those who want to say that the whole topic of Chulun Shanas HaTaras HaKodesh KiKodesh Dami is a meaning, it's not even a Dinder Rabbanon. So what's the Machlokes Amoraim? All the Amoraim disagree with Rabbi Barula because they hold Chulun Shanas HaTaras HaKodesh Lav KiKodesh Dami. What do you mean? But talking, there is such a meaning. What do they hold? There's no meaning. They hold it's a meaning Shtus, that you're not allowed to have such a meaning. It's not meaningful. That's a Machlokes. Is it a meaning Shtus? Is it not a meaning Shtus? Taisus quotes on the first daf in Bava Basra. They quote the Rabbeinu Tam from the Sefer Yoshi. He has a right in the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra that sometimes there's a minig, that's a minig shtus, and you're not allowed to follow it. Because the Mishnah says if you have two neighbors and Hatshutum Shirotzu Lasas Mechitza, they make up that they're going to make a Mechitza to separate between my backyard and his backyard. So how tall does the Mechitza have to be and how sturdy, how thick does the wall have to be? So the Mishnah says, if they want to use this material, kfisa, levenin, gvil, gozis, the Mishnah lists off four different kinds of material. So if this material should be so thick, that material so thick, and this material so thick, and so thick, and then it says, v'hakol k'minig hamdina. Whatever other material they have, whatever is the minig hamdina. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha, if the Mishnah is going to end off, hakol k'minig hamdina, so why do they have to waste their breath to say, if you're using gvil, gozis, kfisa, and levenin, just say whatever you use. It would be k'minig hamdina, farting. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the Mishnah means to tell me if there's a minig hamdina to make the wall thicker than what we're telling you by these four, gvil, gozes, kris, and levena, to make it thicker, that's a minig shtus and that's not binding. Mikan yesh lilmod, from this first Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra, you can infer that there are some in Hagim that you're not supposed to follow. That's Rabbeinu Tam has a famous tshuva that's quoted, it's famous in the history books, they decided to quote that Rabbeinu Tam's tshuva. That is quoted in the Shilta Gibarim on the usually the Shilta Gibarim is on the side of the Rif. And once in a long while, you have a Shilta Gibarim on the bottom of the Mordcha. Usually you don't. So there in Gittin, you have Shilta Gibarim on the bottom of the Mordcha. So there's a Chulas Rabbeinu Tam that's printed there, where he writes a Chulas about Hilchas Gittin. So he says, even though the Minig was to do a certain practice, he says, the Minig is Osias Gehenim. Mem Nun Hey Gimel is the same letters as Gimel Hey Nun Mem. Sometimes a minig shtus, it's always his gehenim. You're not allowed to follow such a minig. You go straight, you don't go straight to win, you go straight to gehenim. Okay, so that's according to some rishonim, the machloik is here, whether chulun shanas ha'taras ha'kodesh k'kodesh domi, alav k'kodesh domi, is a machloik is within the minig. K'kodesh domi is a minig, is machloik is such a minig meaningful or not? Just like you can have a machloik is on the level of the Rabbanan. Do you have a right to make such a din the Rabbanan? The Bezna has no right to make a Gzera de Rabbanon for not for strong reasons. If they have weak reasons, they have no right to make a Gzera de Rabbanon, and the Prima Gordon says the Bezna will be in violation of Baal Tosef if they'll make a Gzera de Rabbanon. The same thing in Minig Shtus, there's no validity to it, and it'll be a violation of Baal Tosef. People have no right to add on. So Nachamol, so how does Rabbi Barula interpret? Hakol shochtim lechatchili, even a Tomei is permitted to shecht. Chulun Shanas HaTaras HaKodesh, and we don't have to be concerned Shemigah B'Basar or Shchitosim K'sheri, even in Kodshim where the din is L'chatchila Tami, is not allowed to shecht because the din of Mishmeres Trumoy, so you have to make, I say Mishmeres L'Trumoy L'Kodshim, you have to make Harchokis and Gzeres, so L'chatchila we wouldn't permit a Tami to shecht Kodshim, but the Yevet Shchitosim K'sheri, if a Tami would shecht Kodshim and he says Bari Li Shalom Agayti, so then it wouldn't pose a problem, but he has to say Bari Li Shalom Agayti. If he's mesupik, then it's no good. If the fellow's mesupik, then maybe he touched the flesh after shechting it. Kolzman, the animal is alive, it's not mekabel tumah. And after the animal is geshechten, then it's going to be able to be mekabel tumah. When you shecht an animal, it jumps around for a while. After you finish the shechit, it jumps around. That's called mefarcheses. So the Gemara says later in Chulin, the mefarcheses kechaya. The farches is still considered alive until it actually drops dead, literally. Kozman is jumping around, as my farches is gechaya. So Tosfos says, what's the concern over here? What if they finish shechting is going to touch the animal while it's still jumping around? It's still jumping around, my farches is gechaya. So it's not mekabel tumah. So Tosfos says, maybe that's the hashash. We're afraid he may touch the animal after it literally falls to the floor, after it drops dead and it's no longer my farches. So that's what Tosfos on based on the base. Dimar Maschel Uvel Megdoshin. The Tosfos says based on the Gemara later that maybe the Chashash Shem Yiga Achapirkus Inami. Tosfos is not sure. maybe that din in the Gemara, the mefachesis is kechaya, maybe it's only going to get to that one detail halacha of hamada v'harocha. Maybe for all other intents and purposes, maybe for Kabbalah Stuma purposes, maybe since he finished the shechita, the mefachesis is kemesa, it's kushchuta already, so maybe then it would be mekabel tuma. Tosis is not sure. Would it be mekabel tuma if you would touch the animal after the gemar hashchita while it's still mefachesis? Then it's mesupet. And Tosis asked the kasha from the Rabbein Ephraim, what's the whole gemara talking about? Lechatchila tomei shudin shech kotchim, zereshem yiga bebasar. Where is he standing? Where do you shecht all the karbonos? You have to shecht in the azara. The kotchi kotch me after shecht in the right hand side of the azara. That's tzofen. When you look straight ahead to the kodesh hakodashim, that's west. That's myrav, and to the right hand of the azara, that's tzofen. So kotchi kotch me after shecht over there. Kotchim kalim also after shecht in the azara. You can shecht anywhere in the azara. Has to be in the azara. Where is the tummy going to be? The tummy has to be chutz l'azara. And how close can he be? He can be right next. The behemoth is on the inside. He's going to be outside. No, right next to the azara is the ezros nashim. So the Gemara is going to say, what kind of a tummy is he? Is he a tummy meis? Is he a tummy sheretz? They're not sure. If he's a tummy meis, a Tesis quotes in Mishnah that min haTorah the tummy meis can be in the whole Ezros Nashim. With the Rabbanon, we divide the Harabais into different sections, and the Ezros Nashim is the third inner section, third section closest to the Azara. Tummy meis can't enter the whole Ezros Nashim. So where's the Tamei Meis going to be standing? It's going to be standing outside of the Ezros Nashim. He's going to have a very long knife. How long is the Ezros Nashim? Kuf Lamed Hei Amos, 135 Amos. How can you hold a knife 135 Amos away? You have to shecht. You have to push down. How is it possible? To shecht 135 Amos away, said Tesis, that's Rabbein Ephraim's kasha. It's the whole case is so far-fetched. Unless you're talking about a bummer. A bummer, you're not shechting in the Azor. Shechting, no Azor, no Beis Hamikdash. Doesn't sound like you're talking about a bummer. Sounds like this bunch of Beis Hamikdash, or Yekai. Okay, so that's what the Rabbein Ephraim Tosis tries to work out. Ukimta cases. How is it possible? Where's it going to stand? Where's the shechet going to stand that it'll be able to shech kochim, that b'dievet it'll be good? That's a problem. Okay, so the first pshat in the Gemara was Rabbi Barula. That Hakol Shochtim, you will permit a Tomei to Shecht Chulin, even though Nasu Al Taras HaKodesh, because you're not Goyzer, you don't make Exer Shema Yiga Bebosa. But by Kotshim, Shchitos and Sher would only be B'dievet, it would be good. And L'chatchila, we wouldn't permit it, B'dievet, it would be good. Yeah. Then the Gemara has, then the Gemara goes on to a side discussion. If a Tommy shechts kachim lechatchil, we wouldn't allow it. But b'dieved, if he shechted and he says bari li shalon agaiti, then it would be good. If he can't really say honestly bari li shalon agaiti, then there would be no good even b'dieved by the kachim. So that's what Tosis is bothered with the kasha on the list on the bottom. Tosis is bothered with the bottom Tosis on the base. Why does he have to say bari li shalon agaiti? If he says I'm not sure, let it be a safik tuma, and safik tuma b'shus harabim. So what's the definition of Rishus HaRabim? So there's one definition for Shabbos purposes. You have to have a very wide street and a lot of people going in the street, and it should go through the city from one end of the city to the other. A whole bunch of criteria, a whole bunch of conditions. That's for the purpose of Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos purposes, for Hoytzor purposes. What about Rishus HaRabim for Tuma purposes? So the Gemara points out in Nazir, beginning of Perek Shnei Nazirim, that the dinim of Safik Tumah Bishus HaYochad Sveika Tameh Bishus HaRabim Sveika Tohar are established, are derived from the Parsha of Soita, because it has the verb venitmo. It's a very funny usage of the word venitmo. What it really means is that the woman was Mezana, the Eishesish was Mezana, she became a Soita Asura Labayla. But because it uses the verb venitmo, so the Gemara says, it teaches us the din, that just like a Safik Soita is Lachumra, the Safik Tumah, if it would be Bishus HaRabim, is Lachumra. What's the definition of Bishus? If it will be Bishus HaYochid, a Safik Tuma Bishus HaYochid will be Lechum. What does it mean Bishus HaYochid? So the Saita case is talking that the woman was Kinei Lo V'Nistero. The woman went into a room privately together with this man that the husband is Choshed, his wife, that he's having an affair with her. So there are only two people in the room. If you would have a third person in the room, that's not called Stira. That's not called V'Nistero. It could well be that it's still going to be a violation of Yichud. could be that it'll be, let's say there are two women in the room and this man, he'll be in violation of Yichud, but that's still not called stir. Stir means that only two people in the room, only the boil with the nevelis. If there's a third person, sometimes it'll be an Issa Yichud, but it won't be an Issa of stir. It won't be called stira to declare that it's kinin love in Istra, that she should be asura mitam saita safik. So the Gemara says, since the dinim of safik tumah b'shu sayochid l'chumra are derived from the usage of the verb vinitma on the parsha saita, so that's why we establish that it depends on how many people are there in the room. If there are only two people in the room, then it's called the rishu sayochid. If you have three people in the room, then it's called the rishu sarabi. Then the Gemara says there in Perek Shnei Nazirim, in the middle of Nazir, it means if three people near each other, if you have two people in this corner, one person in the opposite corner, very far away from each other, and he says, I saw one of the two of you became Tameh, that's called Safik Tumah Bishu Sayochi. If all three would be standing near each other, that would be called the Safik Tumah Bishu Sarab. So there is a Gemara in Psochim, Tosis quotes from the first Perek Psochim, that the Azara is always considered a Rishu Sarabim, Benegeta Hilcha Safik Tumah Bishu Sarabim. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Why does the one who, the Tomei Shishochad, why does he have to say, Vorili Shalonagarti, I know for sure that I didn't touch the Besar HaKorban after the Gemara Hashchita, even if he says Mesupakani, you should say that it's a Safik Tumah Bishu Sarabim, should be Sveika Tor. So Tosis answers that the rule of Safik Tumah Bishu Sayochid versus Bishu Sarabim only applies when it's a Safik HaShokol 50-50. If you have a rove in one direction or the other, so you always follow the rove. So Tosis claims that over here, how can you shech the behema without, it's very hard. The ruba of the case is when you shech the behema, you're going to, even if someone else is holding down the animal. But you have to shech so close, you're gonna touch it after you finish the shechita. It's not talking as a knife 135 amas, kuf lamed hei amas away. Like we say, standing outside of the Azas Noshim, that's ridiculous. It's physically impossible to shech like that. He's standing right nearby, somehow he avoids the Issa Tumah, he's standing right nearby and he's shechting. So the likelihood is, the rov is, the ruba d'leisa kamon is, that he is going to be nogeya b'bosa. So if he says, bari li shalona gaiti, okay, bari li is bari. So he knows he didn't touch. But if he says, ani mesupok, then it's not a 50-50 suffik. It's a suffik with a rov lahachmer. So whenever you have a rov, you follow the rov, and you don't apply the rules of suffik tumma b'shu sarab misveka tohar, or suffik tumma b'shu sayochit sveka tam. You always follow the rov. That's what Tosis says over here. Then we saw the Ramban gave a different answer on Tosis Kasha. He says that there's a special psul of Hesach Hadas. There's a sugim psochim that if you have Besar HaKarbonis and you left it around and nobody's watching, if I put it into a refrigerator and I close the door and you can only open up the door if you're an intelligent person, so that's Meshumar. So you know that nobody opened the door to the refrigerator. You can eat the Karbonis later. But if you just had it sitting around the house, maybe an Adam Tommy came in and touched it and walked away. So whenever there's a possibility that the Bsar HaKarbonis came into contact with Adam Tommy, Adava Tommy, so then it's a psul of Hesach Hadas. You don't shtalav chazoke. Even though the food of the Korban is Becheskas Tahara, you have the right to shtalav chazoke. You have to say that it's Osa Bachila Misofik. Probably is a din derabbanan. Pashup shat's only a din derabbanan, not a din derais. Yeah. But still, he says that's why he has to say barili shalon agaiti. If he can't say barili, so then it would be a psul of hesach hadas. So he says he doesn't understand Tosfos. Why did Tosfos say it should be safik tumah b'shu sarabim sveika tohor? Yeah, it'll be sveika tohor, but mitam the din of hesach hadas, it'll be osa b'achiv. Then the Gemara goes off on a tangent. What's the case over here? Normally, when you shecht with a knife, the knife is usually made from metal. Normally, the knife is made from metal. It's possible to have a knife made from some other material, but normally a sakin shal mateches. So the Gemara says, isn't there a din of cherev harehu kecholol? So if the Adam Tommy, what kind of a Tommy is it? Cherev harehu kecholol is a din that only applies to tumas meis, doesn't apply to any other kind of tumah. That if a metal, Rashi claims it only applies to Mateches, that's the second line from the top of the Rashi. The Rishonim disagree with Rashi, but that's Rashi's opinion. Machlek is the Rashi and Tosfos and Psochim, Machlek is the Rambam and the Ravid and the Shach, and Ilchas Tumas Kahanim quotes the Machlekes. So Rashi says, Cherev Harei Kechol only applies that a Kli Mateches takes on the exact same status of the Tumah that it touched. So Rashi says, if you have a kli matechas touching a mace, so just like the mace is labeled as avi avayis hatumah, so the kli matechas will be labeled avi avayis hatumah. Or let's say someone attends a funeral, so the mace is avi avayis hatumah, the one, the human being who attends, becomes an av hatumah. So the av hatumah will touch a cherev harei kechol. So the, normally when an av hatumah transmits tumah, it goes down a madrega. The mace is avi avayis, so whoever attends the funeral goes down a madrega, I become an av hatumah. I touch a kli, becomes a rishon l'tumah. The kli touches an echel, becomes a sheni l'tumah, and so on and so forth. It always goes down. Mecherev v'rekachol, it's an exception to the rule. It doesn't go down a madrega. So if the cherev was in the oil amei, so the cherev will become at a level of avi avayis atumah. If the cherev was touched by a person who attended the funeral, I'm an av atumah, I'll make the cherev into an av atumah. So that's the Gemara's kasha. There is a din of cherev v'rekachol. So if I'm a tomei meis, I am an avatuma. I'll touch a metal knife. I'll make the metal knife into an avatuma. The avatuma will touch the flesh after the shechita is finished. The knife will be touching the flesh. There'll be metam in the flesh. The knife will be, have the status of an avatuma, and it'll make the flesh into a rishon l'tuma. Rashi on the top points out, top of Gimel Amarav, Rashi points out the kasha would have been a good kasha even if there wouldn't have been a din of cherev harei kecholam. I went to a funeral, so the mace is avi avayis hatumah, I become an av hatumah. I touch a knife, so the knife becomes a rishon hatumah. The rishon touches the flesh becomes a sheni hatumah. It's a good kasha also. The Rashi says it wasn't really necessary to make the kasha so strong to add on even worse, that it's even cherev harei kecholam, so the knife is going to become an av hatumah, like I'm an av hatumah. It's a good kasha even without throwing in the cherev harei kecholam. That is the way the Gemara presented it. So how did the Gemara answer? Just by saying the knife is not made from mateches, that's not going to answer the kasha. Because Rashi said the kasha is a good kasha even without the cherev harei kecholam. So the Gemara answers, the knife doesn't have a tzuras kli at all, period. It doesn't have a tzuras kli. So it's bechlam not mekabel tumah. You have a blade of grass. You have a din, bakol shochtim, that's the fifth line from the top. Bakol shochtim, you can use any kind of a knife, be mitzur, be mischuchas, be mikum, shalkana. You can use a blade of grass if it's sharp. Sometimes people touch a page in the Gemara and they cut their skin. If the page, I cut my skin just yesterday because I was looking in a sefer. Yeah, one of my fingers I cut yesterday from us. I was preparing Pirkei Avos yesterday, so I cut my finger.
But
by kutchim doesn't have to be klisharis. By kutchim it has to be a kli. Different opinions and tastes here whether it has to be a klisharis or not.
Does that have to be matafas klisharis?
That's Taisus Kasha. In order to be a Kli Shoreis, there's a Machlekes Hataran, we paskin, it has to be a Kli Mateches. Everybody agrees that Kli Shoreis cannot be a Kli Cheres. And everybody agrees that Kli Mateches is good. But they argue, what about a Kli Eitz? Do you require Dafkin has to be Mateches to be qualified to be a Kli Shoreis? Or can it be Shal Eitz also? Right. But, so that's Taisus Kasha. That if it has to be a Kli, if by Kotchim it has to be a kli, does it have to be a kli? The Gemara just says Shchitas Kotchim needs a kli. By Kachas Amachelis Lishchitas Benoy, Avraham Avinu was going to perform the Akeda, so it says by Kachas Amachelis, he took a knife. Why did he take a knife? He could have taken a blade of grass to make life easier. You want to make life easier, take a knife. So the Gemara says no, by Kachas Amachelis is Aloche, that Shchitas Kotchim need a kli. So does it have to be a klisharis? So that's three opinions. So Tosis proves here that it does not have to be a klisharis. So if it would have to be a klisharis, it would have to be kli mateches. And the Gemara is answering that Mishnah by Shechitas Kotchim, that it doesn't have to be a klisharis. That it doesn't have to be a kli mateches. Yeah. Tosis proves it from the Mishnah. It says, Kotchi kotchim shechitasim atzofen v'kibol damen b'klisharis batzofen. Why didn't it say shechitasim b'klisharis batzofen? Only says kibol damen b'klisharis batzofen. So from the fact that by contrast it says shechitasim atzofen doesn't say b'klisharis. V'kibol damen b'klisharis batzofen. So it sounds like shechitasim atzofen doesn't need a klisharis. You need a kli, but you don't need a klisharis. By chulin you don't even need a kli. By chulin as long as it's tolush. That's a problem. How does the Gemara know? That's Gemara later. How do you know that the sakin may not be mechuber? Let's say I have a piece of wood growing out of a tree, or you have a leaf growing out of a tree, and I'm going to shecht a behemoth or a chicken with that mechuber lekarka. So that's no good. So the Gemara learns it out from Machelis. Ma Machelis betolosh, I've called betolosh. Then the other Gemara learns out, he learned that from Machelis, that Avraham Avinu was performing, was prepared to perform the Akedah, as if Yitzchak were a carbon. So from the fact that it says Machelis, that indicates that you need a Kli. So these two drushes contradict each other. That's a kasha. The Gemara says, you learn from the word Machelis that Shechitas Kachim need a Kli. And you learn from the word Machelis that Shechitas Chulin, even though it does need a Kli, you need Tolosh. How can you learn if you say you're learning after the same word Machelis, that it means it has to be a Kli? That's a problem. The commentaries on the side of Mishnayos HaHolos, they have printed on the side of the Mishnayos, the Rimi Simpon. So he says, Cherev HaRekha Cholol only applies to the sword with which he was killed. If he wasn't killed with that sword, so the whole din doesn't apply. So that's against Mishnayos. It's against the here, it's against this Gemara. The Gemara says, I attended the funeral of Abba and Av HaTuma, and then if I touch a Kli Mateches, I make it into an Av HaTuma. It's not, it doesn't only apply by the sword with which he was killed on the level of Avi Avos. It applies on Av HaTumah also. If I'm an Av HaTumah because I attended the funeral, I'll touch a Kli Mateches, I'll make it into an Av HaTumah because Chev HaRekh
HaChol. So, if a person is a Tamei Mukdashim, so that makes the Shechita not good, or you just can't eat it?
The Shechita is good, but you can't eat it.
Yeah. So we're saying Tamei Mukdashim is the case of the Bidiyah, but the Mishra, the Shechita is kosher.
No, the person, if the Tomei, the Kohen is a Tomei, you don't even need a Kohen, Shechita Ksher Bazar. If the person who does the Shechita is Tomei, so if a person is Tomei and he does Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrike, Haktara, the Avodah, Pasul. If a person is Tomei, does Shechita, so the Shechita would be kosher. Whether or not he's Metami the Bosa. If he's Metami the Bosa, so he can't eat it. It's not Metami the Bosa, so then you can even eat it. The avodah of the shechita is kosher if it's done by a person who is tummy. But then if the tummy is going to go and touch the carbon, so then it'll be mekabel tummy, you won't be able to eat it later on.
So when the Gemara says, that's
allowed. Yeah, it doesn't mean shechita sekshem. It means you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat the carbon, bikdusha's carbon. Yeah. Rashi here on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph has a comment that's negel halacha. Rashi says that the only time you can talk about Cher HaRekha Cholol is if the Rashi thinks that it's a Kli Mateches. Only Rashi says if the Kli Mateches came in contact with the mace, then the Mateches becomes a Avi Avos. If the Kli Mateches, if I attended a funeral and I become an Av HaTuma, I'm not a Cher HaRekha Cholol, I'm not Mateches. So I become an Av HaTuma, the Tuma goes down to my dragon. So if I'll touch a Cher HaRekha Cholol, I'll make it into an Av HaTuma. What if I'll touch something else? And I'm an Av HaTumah, and I'll make something else into a Rishon LeTumah, and then the Rishon LeTumah will touch a Cher of HaRekha Cholol. Will it be on the same Madrega, it'll be a Rishon LeTumah, or will it go down a Madrega? So Rashi says that's a mistake to discuss the whole topic, because we have the Gemara on the first half in Bava Kama says that there are four categories of things from the whole wide world. There are four categories of things that are Roy LeKabel Tumah, Od Mekelem Ochlem Mamashkim. So the Gemara says, Adam Mekelim can only be Mekabel Tuma from an Av or above, either an Av HaTuma or Avi Avos HaTuma. An Ochel Mamashkim can even be Mekabel Tuma from a Tolda, from a Rishon LeTuma, from a Shein LeTuma, and so on. So Rashi says, what are you going to say over here? A Cherev HaRei Kecholo touches a Rishon LeTuma? There's nothing to discuss. How can you discuss Cherev HaRei Kecholo? A Rishon LeTuma is a Tolda. Tolda can only be Metame Ochel Mamashkim. Cannot be mitami or the mekel. So the whole topic, the whole discussion of the whole application of the din of cherev HaRekha Cholol only applies if the kli mateches either comes in contact with a meis avi avos, it becomes an avi avos, or the kli mateches comes in contact with a av hatume, and it itself becomes an av. But if it comes in contact with the rishon hatume, it's simply not mekabel tume at all. So of course the whole din of cherev HaRekha Cholol will not apply. And the Ramban quotes some rishonim who disagree, quotes the Ravid, who disagrees with the Rashi, that when the Gemara said on the first daf in Bava Kama that Adam Mekelim can only be Mekabel Tuma from an Av HaTuma or above, it's not correct. It's not to be taken literally. It's not that the Chisaron is that if the Dova HaMetame, the thing that's transmitting the Tuma, is only a Rishon, it can't transmit Tuma to Adam Mekelim. No. The Chisaron is Adam Mekelim can never be Mekabel Tuma on the level of a Sheni. So if a Rishon LeTumah touches Adam Mekelim and the Tumah is going to go down a level and the Adam Mekelim is going to become a Sheni, so that doesn't exist. Adam Mekelim can become a Sheni. But if you have a Kli Mateches that comes in contact with a Rishon LeTumah, If you'll apply the rule of Cherev Ereka Chola, it will become a Rishon L'Tumah. So good. Adam Ekelim could be a Rishon L'Tumah. If an Av touches Adam Ekelim, he makes them a Rishon L'Tumah. So if a Cherev Ereka Chola L'Kli Matechas will touch a Rishon L'Tumah, it will become, the din will apply. Not like Rashi. Rashi says nothing to discuss, the top Rashi. Nothing to discuss because Avil Rishon V'Sheni, Emetamim Kelim. So it has to be the whole topic of Cherek Echolol only applies if the Kli Matechas came in contact with the Meis, the Avi Avos, it becomes an Avi Avos. Or came in contact with an Av, it'll become an Av. But if it comes in contact with the Rishon, or the Mekelim are not Mekabel Tumah from a Tolda, from a Rishon. And the Ramban quotes the Rai, but it says not correct. The Chisarin is, or the Mekelim can never have a Tumah on the level of a Sheni. But here it'll become a Rishon, it'll be Mekabel Tumah from a Rishon. It itself will become a Rishon, because Chayav Erech Echol doesn't go down a Madrega.
You said before that Atame Shep, the carbon is kosher, but the meat cannot be eaten.
Right.
Does the same apply to a carbon Pesach? Since it's not Rai Lafilo, the Shita Biko, could the carbon be kosher?
Carbon Pesach. The Mishnah is draw contrast between Korban Pesach and other Korbanos. It's a different nafkemina. Beget the tumah, but not this nafkemina. Korban Pesach sometimes you may eat betumah. Other Korbanos can never eat betumah. Even another Korban that tumah is muta betzibur, you can be makar with it, but you can't eat it. In Korban Pesach, the one and only exception to the rule, shemetchilosa lo ba'elo lachila. The Mishnah says you can eat it. It depends whether the Rav Atzibur would be tumah. If the Rav Atzibur is not tumah, then you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach betumah. The Rebbe Tzibur's tummy, so everybody can eat the tumah.
But it becomes tummy before Zrikas Adam, with the
Yotzi. Yeah, if the Korban Pesach is Bob Tumah, so everything is.
No, if it's not Bob Tumah, and it becomes tummy before Zrikas Adam.
Would they be Yotze with it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. It has to be Roy Lachila. You're only Yotze if the time of Zrikas Adam, the person was Roy Tita Kazayas of the Korban Pesach. If for some reason or another wasn't Roy L'Achila at the time of Zrikas Adam, so you're not Yaitzin. It's also Mishnah is like that.
The question about the shafting, couldn't it happen with the Tamar, that the Tamar could be shafting legitimately, could be shafting a Korban of a Mitzvah Ashir on Yud David and Pesach Abba B'Tuma?
Yeah.
So then, he'd be Rav Niazara, because of Pesach Abba B'Tuma.
Uh-huh.
And you could be shafting. You could be shafting after at that time. At that zman, you could be shafting in the carbon of Mitzvah Asher.
Okay.
And but the carbon of Mitzvah Asher would only be the chatas of the Mitzvah would only be only nachal b'tara, no?
Yeah.
Even if Pesach is about to.
You mean he can do the shechita, but he can't do the rest of the avodas?
Well, he could be zar even.
Okay. He can be a zar who's tamei in the azara because he's there for the hakrovas carbon Pesach. Okay. Good answer. Don't answer the Tesis Kasha. How can the guy shech the carbon in the Azar? He says, Hacham Askin is there a Pesach, Nerev Atzibah's Tomei, and everybody in the Azar is bringing carbon. So he's allowed to do it betumah, but he's bringing another carbon. He's bringing the Metzairah, he's bringing his carbon to enable him to participate in the carbon Pesach. Okay. The Chata Shal Metzairah, which is Ma'aka. So the Gemara says, in the real case, you allow it, yeah. In order to be permitted to eat the carbon pesach, we will permit you to bring it after the Chomesh of Ben Abai. So he says, in a rare case, you have a teretzan. This is kasha. Good. Okay. So Nachman, so the first, we have this contradiction between the two halves of the statement. Hakol shechtem shechitosin k'sherim. So Rabbi Barula gives the first pshat. Hakol shechtem goes on a tomei mei shecht lechatchile in a chulun shenasal ataras hakodesh. That you don't make the gzera there, gzera shem yiga bebasar. Shchitos and kshera goes b'di'evet by shchitos kachim lechatchila tomei shenat shech kachim, and b'di'evet if he does, it will be shchitos or kshera. If he says bari li shalom negayti, okay. Then you have Abai has a different pshat. Abai is on the sixth line from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Abai has another pshat, and Rava modifies Abai's pshat. Basically, Abai and Rava give the same pshat. That the Mishnah is talking about a kusi. What do you mean? A kusi is Jewish or not Jewish? So that was an age-old machlekes in the days of the time where the kusim geri emes or kusim geri aroi is saying. What is the machlekes? The Tosis explains on Gimel on the days. They explain in a few other mesichtas as well, but one of the places is Gimel and Beis Dima Maschil Kosovar. So Tosis concludes with the pasuk in Malachim Beis, chapter Yud Zayin, that the kusim, their initial geirus was not meaningful. There was never a kabbalas on mitzvahs from the very outset. There was no kabbalas on mitzvahs. The pasuk says, "Es elahem hayu avdim." They continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So they never agreed to observe any mitzvah. So the kusim, the initial geirus of the kusim, was no good. So what's the machlokes hatorim or the kusim geiri? I'm saying. So Tosfos says it's a historical machlokes, not a halachic machlokes, whether that original geirus was good or no good. The original geirus al chaladeis was no good. It's a historical machlokes. Should we assume that there must have been megayir a second time shuv nizgayru legamrei? Maybe there was megayir a second time with a kabbalas on mitzvahs. Well, maybe no. What's the issue? Because in the days of the Tanoim, they saw that the Kusim were observing many, many mitzvahs. They were observing all of the mitzvahs that are Torah Shebichsav. Generally speaking, they didn't follow Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav, they did observe. So the Tanoim had a machlokes, a historical debate. Where did this come from? Why did they all of a sudden begin to observe? When did they all of a sudden begin to observe the Torah Shebichsav? So one opinion among the Tanoim was that they picked it up by osmosis. They lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews were keeping the mitzvahs. So they started observing some of the mitzvahs, and they're going gemurim from the beginning to the end. They were never megar. That's kusim geri arayusim. They only converted because of the lions, geri arayus, and that geris was not valid because there was a lack of a kabbalas on mitzvahs, and they remained geri arayus. And that's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion, the majority opinion of the Tanoim was that shuv nizgayru legamrei. We're reconstructing history. We don't know for sure. The Tanaim are assuming they must have all converted at some later time with the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, and the Kusim were Jewish. But in a later generation, Geri Emes, they were Shuv Nizgar. In a later generation, Rab Meir and Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbi Rabasi and different generations, they were Geizer, that the Kusim have the status like Nochrim, because they, in the days of Rab Meir, they discovered, they did research, and Vav and Menalef, and they found out that they were worshipping Avodah. Some of the Kusim were worshipping, not all of them. Some of them were worshipping Dmuz Diyoina and Barosh HaGrizim. So Rav Meir L'taymei, the Gemara says, Rav Meir goes L'shitos, Rav Meir Chai Shlomiyuta. It was only one sect of the Kusim who were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So because Rav Meir Chai Shlomiyuta, so he was going on all of the Kusim that had to have a Din Keakum. The we Paskan like Rav Meir, Chashina L'miyuta. So the Tosfos has a hechacha in the sugya of Roiv, which we didn't do. It's a very important sugya, but it really takes a lot more time. So the bottom Tosfos on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Dibra Maschel, Rav Meir, the Chayish L'miyuta, the Gemara raises the question, according to Rav Meir, Hos Chashin L'miyuta, how can you ever eat any flesh? Maybe the animal was a trefa. How come the Gemara uses the lashon, according to Rav Meir, the Chayish L'miyuta? Sounds like according to us, there's no kasha. So Tosfos says, "Midikom al Rav Meir, v'lo kom hechi achlinan bistra." The Gemara doesn't ask how do we eat meat. The Gemara, how would Rav Meir be permitted to eat meat? You see that we don't pass like Rav Meir. Mashma, the inference is, "V'lo kaim al Rav Meir the chayish lemiyuta." It's only his opinion, and that was the kasha. According to him, how would he ever be allowed to eat any meat? So Tosfos says, "We don't pass like chayish lemiyuta." So how come this din? It says Rav Meir L'taymei, they only discovered one sect of the Kusim who worshipped Avodah Zarah on top of Hagrizim, and then because of that one sect, it was gozer that all of the Kusim have the status of Ka'akum Gmur M'chol Devreyem, because Rav Meir Chayish L'miyuta, but we don't paskin Chashin L'miyuta, so we shouldn't paskin the whole din of Kusim, that they have a din like Gozer Alem Kiliyas Ka'akum L'chol Devreyem, and this we do paskin. We do paskin that B'zman Hazeh, a Kusi is Dina Ka'akum L'gamrei. How come? So the Rishonim explained, in the generation of Rav Meir, it was only a miyuta who were Rav Avodah Zarah. Apparently in the later generations, they continued to do research, and they discovered that it wasn't such a miyuta. It was a big percentage of the Kusim were involved in Avodah Zarah, so they were geyser that liyos ka'akum l'chol divreim.
What does that mean, though? At one time, they were Jewish. At one time, we were passing like Rav Meir, so then all their descendants are Jewish.
So that's a major topic. So we had Gemara in the end of the first perikin. That was going to be the next topic to be discussed. Okay, good. So we had a Gemara, the last Omid Beis in the first perikin Yevamos continues over to the last Omid Aleph in the first perik. The first perikin Yevamos ends, I think, on an Omid Aleph. So Gemara, the bottom of Amud Beis goes over to the top of Amud Aleph. One Amora says, Nochri shikiri shisha bizman hazeh choshishim lekidushin shema me'aseres hashvatim hu. Any Nochri in the street, maybe a descendant, basach habasach habas, maybe his mother's mother all the way back was Jewish. When they lost 10 tribes, they intermarried, they assimilated, and maybe this fellow b'mikra happens to be Jewish. So that's how the sugya begins. Nochri shikiri shisha bizman hazeh choshishim lekidushin shema me'aseres hashvatim hu. So Gemara finally comes to the conclusion on the Amud Aleph, the last Amud Aleph in the first paragraph in Yevamos. We don't accept that because we have a pasuk in Treyosa that says, "Bashem bagadu," they rebelled against Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Kiborim zorim yolodu, they intermarried and they assimilated, and the dina kakum bein lahakol bein lahachmer, bein lahakol the aseres hashvatim lost the kedusha sisra. So that's lahakol that if the mikadosh anisha ein choshishim lekedushin. So that's a big machlokes harishonim hagoyim. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that that was that pasuk in Treyosa Bashem Bagodu Kiborim Zorim Yalodu is a hayrah shua for once in the history of the world that the aseres hashvatim lost their kedushas Yisrael, and it never applies in any other instance. Here by kusim the Gemara has the exact same lashon as by the aseres hashvatim. The expression used is lazasim misham. It's the tiny letter Aleph on Davovam and Aleph. It's the sixth wide line, Avovam and Aleph. Rabami Rabasi Lozaz and Misham, they didn't budge from the spot. Achatzom Kakim Gurim. So the same expression appears there in Yevamos at the end of the first paragraph. Lozaz and Misham, Achatzom Kakim Gurim. So the many Rishonim, including the Rambam, and the Pirush HaMishnah is the end of Nida, many Rishonim understand that by the kusim they declare din kakam bein lahakal bein lahachmer. The Rambam writes that normally a nochri who dies is metame only b'magam emasa, not b'ohel. If a Jew dies, metame b'magam emasa u'b'ohel. So the kusim, we assume b'geri emes, shuv nizgari legamre, the original kusim, that was the gerish aloi kalocha. That gerish lacked kabbalas on mitzvahs. That was the tesis on gimel amud beis. But in later generation, we assume they weren't as gayer, they had a kedushas Yisrael. But when they were goyzer aleim, lios kak murim l'chol devreim, so the Rambam writes that no longer metami ba'ohel. So the Rambam understands that when they were goyzer on the kusim, lios kak murim l'chol devreim, is not only l'hachmer, even l'hakil. So the Rambam apparently thinks that it's not a once in the history of the world hayrah shoah that only applies to the lost 10 tribes, it applies to any group of Jews who float so far away from mainstream Judaism that the Rabbanim in their generation feel that this doesn't represent Judaism. So you can invoke that pasuk and declare Dinun Ka'akum Afilo L'Hakam. Most assume that it's not so, that by the Kusim, because they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, Samacha Avodah Zarah is Dinun Ka'akum, but it's not Dinun Ka'akum L'Hakam, it's only Dinun Ka'akum L'Hachmir. It's only Dinun Ka'akum L'Hachmir. That's what we said over the Avdei Nezer. What kind of a din is that? That an Oved Avodah Zarah, Ravonan was of the opinion that a Jew is an Oved Avodah Zarah, is shchitosa muta lechom mishchitosoi. And the Gemara finally makes a teyufta de Ravonan teyufta. What was that? The last line on Hayamid Aleph, the Gemara finally makes teyufta de Ravonan teyufta. We don't accept his opinion. Yeguf Amar Ravonan Amar Shmuel starts in the middle of Dalet Amar Beis. Knows that the mumal avodah zarah, Jews, the mumal avodah zarah mutalechal mishchitos, and it goes on and on and on and on to the last line on Hayamid Aleph Tiyufta. We don't pass like Ravonim. So what kind of a din is that? That a mumar, we have three kind of Jews: a mumal avodah zarah, a mumal lechal Shabbos b'farhesia, a mumal leroiv dini hatorah. Avodah zarah and Shabbos he does observe, but is a mumal leroiv dini hatorah that he's aware of. So any one of these three people is dina kakum lechol devar, but it's only dina kakum lahachmer, not lahakel. I can't use this fellow as a Shabbos guy. I can't sell a chometz to him. And if he comes into my barbershop, I can't shave off his pace with a razor. If a nochri comes in, I can shave off his pace with a razor. But if the Jews are mumala with a zore, Lustige comes in, I can't shave off his pace with a razor. He's still sof kol sof, he's still Jewish. He's not a guy. So what kind of a din is that? He has a din of a Yisrael lahachmir and a din of a nochri lahachmir. Why? What is it? A sofek? Is a Suffolk Jew, Suffolk guy. He's not a Suffolk. We know he's Jewish, and he's a mumal avodah zarah. So that's what Davni Nezer gave a whole hezbah that Rav Soloveitchik liked very much. Rav Soloveitchik, this was a recurring theme in his shiur. that sometimes you have a situation where you have a tie to this asri. The fellow is Jewish, so he's Jewish. But he's a mumadina kakum, so he's both Jewish and nochri at the same time. So how can that be a tie to this asri? So whenever you have a situation where you have a tie to this asri, so the halacha says you should treat it as if it were a suffix. It's not a real suffix. Where do you have such a situation? So they had the Ridvan Yuma, has this been to get to Bein Hashmashes. He says, Bein Hashmashes is not a suffix yom suffix laila, that you don't know where to draw the line. Atkan is yom and mekan v'yelech is laila. No, Bein Hashmashes is a block of time, or a moment of time, whatever, that has the properties of yom and the properties of laila. Because it has both status of yom and status of laila, it's a tie to the sasri. So the halacha says you have to treat it as if it were a suffix. So that's why you go to chumrah. So that's what Avnei Nezer explains. He says by the mumah lavo the zare, he has a tshuva lahalacha where he talks about if a nochri manufactures an avodah zara, it becomes asabanoa right away. If a Jew manufactures avodah zara, it doesn't become asabanoa atshei yeyovid until somebody worships it. So what if there's a Jew who's a mumah lavodah zara, dina ka'akum, and he manufactures an avodah zara, does it become asabanoa right away? So he says yes, he agrees with the prisha on the bottom of the Torah. A Jew is a mumah lavodah zara, manufactures a getchke, a dovish al avodah zara, it'll become masah banua right away. Then you have another din. Avodah zara shel nochri lends itself to bitl. Avodah zara shel yisrael does not lend itself to bitl. So what about over here? He says dina ki nochri, dina ki yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer says you have to go to chumrah. So since avodah zara shel yisrael does not lend itself to bitl, so if this mumal avodah zara has an avodah zara, we wouldn't permit you to be mevatla. What if it's an avodah zara that he manufactured and he never worshipped yet? So the only reason why you're machmer to say that it's asamano, because dina kenochri, so mimarav shach, you should say. If the whole reason why it's asamano in the first place, mishas hasiya, and it was never worshipped yet, is because dina kenochri. So dina kenochri should lend itself to bittel. So he says, you can't ask that it's mimarav shach. You can't argue like that. And he quotes a Tosefta from Kalim, where there's a discussion of machlekes hatanoim, is that a valid mimarav shach or not? That if you have a kli, if you have a kli cheres, you have a kula and a chumrah. Kli cheres is only mekabel tuma from the inside, not from the outside. But once it's mekabel tuma, ein lo tara b'mikveh. So what if you have a kli which is made from a blend of different materials? You have mateches and cheres blended in together. So the Mishnah says, you go basarayv. If the rayv is mateches, so it has the status of kli mateches. If the rayv is cheres, it has the status of cheres. What if it's machtza machtza? So you go to chumrah, has both. You can't say one beats out the other one. So you go to chumrah in both directions. So what if you have a kli that's machza machza, 50% of the material that's blended in to make it is cheres and 50% is mateches, and someone touched it on the outside. Adam tummy touches on the outside. So the chumrah you say that it's mekabel tuma like a kli mateches. If it would have been declared as a kli cheres, on the mekabel tuma from the inside. And then you say, well, if it's only mekabel tuma because dina kekli mateches, then you should be able to be toivel in the mikveh. So the Braisa has it, the Tosefta has a machlekes hatanoim. Is that a legitimate mimonav shach or not? So the Avnei Nezer thinks based on the Kalali HaPsak, the names of the tanoim there, we should paskin like Rebbe. We should paskin that it's not a valid mimonav shach. And he applies this halacha l'maisa. So he applies in other cases as well. So here in his case, when a mumal avodah zara manufactures an avodah zara, so we say dina kakum, it becomes asbanua right away. And then later on, we would not permit you to be mevatalit because dina ki Yisrael. I bought mimanav shach, if dina ki Yisrael never became asbanua in the first place. He says, no, mimanav shach is when you have a suffix, is it A or B? Here it's both A and B at the same time, and we treat it like a suffix. When you have this kind of a suffix, the halacha says you should treat it as a suffix because of the tart of the sasri, so then you have no right to say mimonav shach. That's the chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay in one of his svarim, do you have a right to say mimonav shach? And you don't know what the topic is. So he says, when you read the essay, you'll understand what the topic is. It's too much to put the topic in the table of contents to explain what the topic means. You have a right to say mimonav shach by the rabbanans, yeah.
If you hold like the Rambam, people say that it's even lahakel, we treat the kuzim like goyim. So can you just pin that on the pasuk, or do you have to have some sort of halachic mechanism, like hefker ben hefker, to say that?
No. The pasuk says Bashem Bagod, the Gebarim Zami Yolanda, right? So the first opinion, that pasuk in Treyosa, the first opinion is that it's only Hirosha once in the history of the world, and it only applied to the Saras HaShvatim and no more. And by the Kusim, there were Gezer, Elias, Kakim, Lachodarem, is only Lahachmer, not Lahakil, because a Mumer, Lavidizar, Dina Kakim, and he's Jewish and a Goy at the same time. So it's a tie to the Sasri. So we treat it as if it were a Suffolk, and you always go Lahachmer. And the second opinion is the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnais with the group of other Rishonim. When it goes on the Kusim, Lios Kakum is Bein Lahakil Bein Lahachmer. If you have such a sect of Jews, such a group of Jews, who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism, that it doesn't look like it's an observance of Judaism. So if the Rabbanim in their generation declare that Dina Kakum, so they'll takaluz a Kedushas Yisrael. Then the third opinion was the Goinim. Many of the Goinim were of the opinion that if an individual Jew, not only a whole sect of Jews, an individual Jew who officially converts to another religion, that's how the Chasam Sefer limits it. The Goinim only said if a Jew converts to another religion officially, Stami doesn't keep anything. He's just chiloni legamre. He doesn't belong to any religion at all. So then he's still Jewish. But he officially converts to another religion. So the Goinim, a group of Goinim, were of the opinion that he loses his Kedushas Yisrael min HaTorah. The Gemara says a Yisrael who converts to another religion is Mekadosh Anisha. So she's Choshishim leKedushin. So the Goinim say that's only a Chumra midRabbanim. Min HaTorah the Ein Choshishim leKedushin. Because the Jew converts to another religion is also covered with that pasuk, Bashem Bagodu, Kibonim Zarim Yolodu.
Does the Goinim hold that even if his Kedushin preceded the conversion?
Yeah, they say even if a man married a girl and then he converts to another religion, it's like he became a non-Jew, she would not need a get. That's how they write. A big Kiddush. So there's a long tshuva in the Sridi Eish, very fascinating tshuva, where he shows these three different opinions. That the Pashup Shanting Mara in the end of the first parak in Yibamas only goes on the lost 10 tribes. And then it's a Chiddush, like the Ramam and the Pirush HaMishnais, and those who say it applies to the Kusim, because the Gemara's Loshan by the Kusim is exactly identical with the Loshan Lezazam, Mishama, Shatzom, Kakam, Grum, Lechol, Devrayim. That's identical to the Loshan in the end of the first parak in Yibamas. So they hold it applies to any sect of Jews who float so far away from mainstream Judaism. And the third sheet is the Sheet of Sagainim. That famous shita that the Ramah quotes. The Ramah says, "V'choshes for that shita lahachmir." Let's say a man dies, a married man dies, and he leaves in an almana. She's kukali of him, and there are two surviving brothers. So one brother converted to another religion, and the other one is Jewish. So the Ramah says we wouldn't permit the chalitza to be done by the brother who converted, because according to the Goinim, he's not in the running. He's not Jewish. He lost his kedusha, so he's not Jewish at all. Period. So the Ramah writes it lahachmer, not lahokil. And some Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva. He has a different approach to life. He thinks that the Ramah said it lahokil also. That if the only surviving brother is the Meshumad, so the woman doesn't need chalitza, period. Because the Meshumad is mamish dinakak. That's not the generally accepted opinion, like Chacham Avadya said. That's known as the Shitas HaGoinim. There was such an opinion in the days of the Goinim that any Jew converts to another religion loses the Kedushas Yisrael. So getting back again, Abai v'Rava give the second and the third pshatim in the Mishnah. There's the Stira HaKol Shecht M'shchitas M'shera. Abai says, we're talking about a Kusi. Kusi is dealing with Yisrael, Geri Emesein. We assume Shuvn is Gairu Lagamre. And it's before they made the Gzera de Rabban on Shchitas and the Vela, that Dina Kakun Gmurim L'chal Dibrem, before the days of Rab Meir. This is an earlier Mishnah. But the problem with the Kusim was that they were Hashudim Alifna Iver. Why they Hashudim Alifna Iver? Alifna Iver is a Chaposik and Chumash. They used to follow what it says in Torah Shebichsav. The Rashi says, they interpreted the Pasik, Rashi writes on Gimel Amanal, they interpreted where it says Shom Yutes. It says Mayikri Yutes. Rashi on Gimel Amanal quotes. It says Mayikri Yutes Alifna Iver Lesit and Michshol. They interpreted Kemashmo Shalit and Evan Baderech Iver Lahapilo. You're not allowed to cause a blind man to trip. Kipshuta, but to be machshel someone to do an Avera, they felt that that's Heter Gomer. Why is it Heter Gomer? The Pashtus is that the Avera doesn't count as an Avera because he's misasek. If the fellow doesn't realize that he's eating tray for food, so it doesn't count as an Avera. We would have accepted that opinion of the Goyim, of the Kusim also, except the Gemara says Misasik b'chalom v'arayis chayv shekein de'enet. Misasik taka is not called the ma'is avera, but by macholas hasuris and bias hasuris, the Gemara says those are the two exceptions to the rule that it is called an avera. So they didn't hold from Shmuel's memory. Misasik b'chalom v'arayis chayv shekein de'enet. They didn't hold from Shmuel, and they hold that there's no iser lifnei to be machshel another Jew, but they themselves are not going to eat nevelus at treifus. So for kusi shechts, we can't trust him ala shechita, but he's going to eat. I see that he's going to eat some of the food. Chaytach kazayis basav in osim la, he eats it. Then it's biyadua that it's kosher, so I can eat it also. But if the kusi, if I don't see the kusi eat it, he tells me it's okay, Rabbi, you can eat it. I shechted it properly. Then you cannot trust the kusim because they're chashudim on lifnei iver. If you see him eat it, then you know he's not going to eat the non-kosher. They used to be observant. The Gemara asks on Dalet Amud Aleph, what does it help if he's going to eat it? Maybe if it's a chicken, let's say, maybe he'll say, Ein shechita lof min ha-Torah. It's a machlokes ha-Tanoim. That's in the middle of Dalet Amud Aleph. Machlokes ha-Tanoim. There are some Rishonim, even the Rosh in the end of Yuma, quotes the Maharam Rutmerg, who paskens like that, Ein shechita lof min ha-Torah. The shechita seifis is only midirabbanan, min ha-Torah, and the chiras is zui shechita sei. Or maybe the whole Hilcha Shechita, the Chomish Hilcha Shechita, Shia Drosa, Chalada, Agrama, Viga, where the whole thing is only Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So how do you know that the Kusim observe it? They didn't observe whatever's Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Gemara says, no, we know that they did observe. They did Shechita on Oifes, and they did Shechita with the Chomish Hilcha Shechita. So Kevin the Achzik, Kevin the Achzikine Bahu, Achzik. Even though it doesn't say in the Chumash, even though it's Torah Shabbat Peh, and the Gemara says, that's a Machlekes Satanaim. Can you rely on a Kusi that he's going to do things properly if it's in the area of Torah Shabbat Peh, which we know that they do observe. Parts of Torah Shabbat Peh they didn't observe, and parts of Torah Shabbat Peh they did observe. So since it's so helter-skelter, so how can you rely on anything? So that's a machlekes hatanoim. So the Gemara says, Abai v'Rave are both working on the assumption that the kusim are medaktik and shchita, with all the chomish shel chashchita. So if chayter kazayis basam in osanlo, if he himself is going to eat from his own shchita, then I can eat from it also. Then it's a good proof that it's kosher. But if I don't see him eat the kazayis basam, could be dafka kazayis, could be chatzi zayis, could be that they don't hold from chatzi shir osam in atar, could be they hold chatzi shir as mutter. The Gemara's loshen is chayter kazayis basam in osanlo. I think some of the Rishonim make that deal. Chayter kazayis basam in osanlo, because chatzi shir, you can't rely on them. So that's how Abai v'Rava learned the Mishnah. Hakol shochtim, we can allow a kusi to shech lachatchila only if Yisrael is omer al gavav min tchilosa v'atsoifa. That's how Abai says. And Rava disagrees. He modifies this. If the Yisrael is omer al gavav, yotze v'nichnas. And Abai holds that yotze v'nichnas is not good enough. Abai says beferish in Maseches Avodah Zarah that yotze v'nichnas is good enough by stam yenam. I leave my wine in my home, and I have non-Jews walking in and out all the time. I have in my store, and I have non-Jewish workers and non-Jewish customers and non-Jewish friends roaming around the whole place. And I'm yotze v'nichnas, I'm in and out. I'm not there the whole time, all the hours that the store is open, but I'm in and out now and then. So the Mishnah says beferes that yotze v'nichnas is good l'chatchila. Maybe you tell me it's only good l'chatchila by stam yena, which is only the Rabbanon. But over here, Shechita is a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara does not draw a distinction between the two. But again, the Yotze v'Nichnas. The Gemara holds if it's good for Stam Yenim, should be good for the Shechita also. So why does Abai have this bug in his head? Abai insists, Hakol Shochtim, you can allow a Kusi to Shecht only if the soil is there, Metchila v'Yatzof. If he's only Yotze v'Nichnas, it's not good. And Rabbi says the same shot as Abai, but instead of Emer Agavav Metchila v'Yatzof, Rabbi says it's good enough with Yotze v'Nichnas. That's the second and third pshat in the Mishnah. Yeah.
We assume that lying is Torah Shabbat Peh.
What's Torah?
And if you ask the Kuzi if it's kosher or not,
yeah,
he's going to lie to you. So that's Torah Shabbat Peh.
Yeah, what's that there to tell a lie if it's irrelevant? You're not allowed to tell a lie. You ask me, where's the money that I owe you? I say, I don't owe you any money. That's an Isra and Chumash. I'm not allowed to tell a lie to deny that I owe you money. But you're asking something that's a stupidity. Yes, did I do Shia Drasa Chalad or Gamay Vika? Rabbi, the whole thing is ridiculous. Yeah, I didn't do any Shia Drasa. The whole thing is a joke to him. You're making up Anaya Mishigas, Anaya Chumra. So there's no avera to tell a lie. It's just irrelevant.
Is the Pashup Shad of Lifnei Iver, are we Mechoyver Dami Deraisa?
Yeah. Yeah, included in Lifnir is also if you mapshal a person in an aver. But if you put a stumbling block, the pashup shot, alti pash, this is also included. Yeah. The Menachas Chino talks about it. Maybe it should not be included. But the pashup shot is certainly included in Lifnir. Even this additional level of interpretation is also included. But the pshuta shel mikra is certainly included.
They don't mention it.
The
Chinuch doesn't bring it.
Okay. Menachas Chino thinks that it's not included. That's only the Kusim learn like that. We don't learn like that. Pashup shot is not like the Menachas Chino said. We certainly learn like that. But this is also included. Machshol and Aver is also included, yeah. So here's the Shaila. Why does Abaye insist that it has to be, the Israel has to be watching the whole time? What's wrong if he's Yotze v'nichnas? So the Gemara says on the third wide line on Gimel Amud Beis, Abaye lo yomer ki rove. Why does Abaye not, why is he not satisfied with the Yotze v'nichnas? HaMishnah and Abaye Zara, that if I'm Yotze v'nichnas, you don't have to be concerned about the Maga Akum and the Stam Yenim. Mar says, "Hasam lai noga hocha noga." There, by the store, by the home, I have kosher yayin all over the place, open barrels of wine all over. I don't see the nachri touching the wine. I'm yotze v'nichnas. To the best of my knowledge, he didn't touch the wine, and he knows that if he touches the wine, he's going to make a treif, and I'm going to be upset about him. So, if I'm yotze v'nichnas, that's going to. But here, the fellow shechting is holding the kusi. His shechting is holding the animal in his hands, and his shechting. So it's very easy to make a psul. She addressed a chaladar agama b'yikah. So hacha noga, since he's handling the thing b'vadois, the yotze v'nichnas is not enough. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rava. So the second and the third pshatim are basically the same. Abai b'Rava, that the pshat and mishnah is talking about a kusi, and the only difference between the second and the third pshat is that Abai learns the kusi you require oimer al gaber from the beginning to the end, and Rabbi says yotze v'nichnas is good enough. A detail machlokes. The fourth pshat is Rabashi, who's four lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabashi Omar, hakol shechem goes Yisrael mumer. The Gemara says, what kind of a mumer? So does it go mumer laver dezar is dina ka'akum shchitos and avela? Does it go mumer l'chal Shabbos b'fer hesi is no good? Does it go a mumer le'mitzvah achas, a mumer le'davrechad is not a mumer l'chal ha'tarah kula? Mumer l'arelus is like a mumer le'davrechad is chitos k'shera. So what does it mean? It means Rava's pshat. That Rava had a vart that a mumer lechal nevelus l'tayava, and we don't have such a person as man as that. But in the days of Rava, he can imagine a person is a mumer l'tayava, and he knows how to do shchita, he knows hilchas shchita, but he's a lazy guy. So if it's a little bit of a tircha, he's not going to buy kosher meat. It's too far to go to the kosher butcher shop or buy non-kosher meat. But if it's easily available and it costs the same price, so why not? And he knows how to shecht himself. So he's not going to be boidik the sack, and that we can't rely on him to be boidik the sack. But if we'll be boidik the sack and we'll give it to him, he knows how to shecht, he'll do a shchita ksher. So that's the Ravashi's pshat. Hakol shechta means we would even permit lechatchila or mumma letayavain the shecht a behemah, and we would be allowed to eat the flesh. Rashi says, on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, what if he's a mumma lahachis? Tafka mumma lech on the belis letayav, mumma lahachis not. So what would it then be by mumma lahachis? The Rashi says, he can't trust him. If you're not watching the whole time, you can't trust him. Maybe he'll make it nevela, because he's mudl nablu b'kavana b'yadayim. You can't trust him. What if someone is watching mitchila b'yatzof? It's not a question of trusting him. Yisrael omer acherim ra'im osam. So according to Rashi, it would be good. And the Tosfos said b'ferish, it's no good. Tosfos dima maschol kasovar. So Tosfos has to explain what's wrong with shchitas akum. He say if the mumer is dina ka'akum, then shchitas nevela. And what's wrong with shchitas akum? So that was a fundamental machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. Tosfos says it's no good because you need a bar zvicha. Tosfos in the Rosh say, just like by ksiva sefer Torah, you need a bar kshira. Has to be yeshnam and mitzvahs ksivas tefillin. So by shchita you need a bar zvicha. So nochri is not a bar zvicha. A mumma dina kakum. So he's also not called a bar zvicha because dina kakum. So Tosfos throws in a line, echol nevelus lahachis is also called not a bar zvicha. Echol nevelus lahachis, even though it's only mumma the davar echod, he's not a bar zvichas. According to Tosfos, even acherim omnim al gabov, even acherim roimosam won't be good. Like an akum sheshochat, acherim roimosam is no good. But Rashi, they point out, Rashi does not say the same as Tosfos. So So this is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. How should we pass? So Nachum also, we already have the fourth pshat. Fourth pshat was Rav Ashi on the bottom of four lines on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Fourth pshat is that the Mishnah goes on a mumalech on the veilus l'teyavain that if we're baidik sakim and osan la'ol be mutal lechatchila. Then the fifth and the sixth pshat then were the two versions of Ravina. B'diavad, if I didn't check the sakin in advance, so then if the mumah shechts and he says he did a good job, and then I check the sakin afterwards, I can't rely on him. But if I'll be bedik the sakin afterwards, so then it'll be good b'diavad. The chatchili can only allow someone to shecht if you have to check into something afterwards. The chatchili can set up a system to check later if the checking is not miyakev, but if the checking is going to be miyakev, and if you're not going to check later on, it's going to be asur mitam nevela, then you can't rely on the fact that I'm going to be bedik the sakin later. So if I'm bedik the sakin in advance and I give it to him to shecht, that's mutal lechatchila. But if I wasn't bedik the sakin in advance, avloy barak, so then in shachad bedik sakin acharav nimtz sakin yofe, then it's mutal lechem mishchita. So that's only good b'diavad. Because the Shach repeated that a few times in the beginning of Yeridah. You're not allowed to shecht l'chatchila on the smach that you're going to take care of something later on. That's l'ikuvah. Then the fifth and the sixth pshatim were the two versions of Ravina on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. The first version, Ravina Hachiktani, that we have to check in advance to see that the person knows l'chal shechita. You don't have to check in advance to see whether he knows how to control the animal, that the animal's not going to jump around, or that he's going to faint in the middle if he's undertaking the shecht. So obviously the shechet has self-confidence, and you can rely on that. But you can't rely that he knows hilchos shechita. So l'chatchila he should only hakol shecht l'chatchila if he knows, if we test him out in advance and we know that he knows the halachas. U'shechitas and ksherim means if he shechted the behema. We don't know in advance whether he knows the dinim. So b'diavad, it'll be mutter. If we'll test him after he shechts, we'll test him out, and he passes the test, and he knows hilchos shechita, so then it'll be good. So that's the first opinion, the first version of Ravina, that there is no such assumption that rov mitzvah meitu shechita mumchim heim. You have to test in advance to make sure that he knows hilchos shechita. Then the Gemara has another lashon. The lishnachrin in the Gemara was, ikad yamrei Ravina amar, right smack from the middle of Gimel Amud Beis. The second version was that Rav Mitzvah made to shechita mumchim heim. We have a right to assume that anyone is undertaking to shecht the behem, he knows what he's doing. But what we don't know is, what we have to check into is, does he really know how to hold on to an animal? Maybe we have to be concerned. Maybe he's going to faint in the middle. Maybe he won't be strong enough to hold the animal. So l'chatchila, you have to check in advance to know. Did anybody watch this guy shecht a few times, two, three times, to establish that he knows how to control the animal? And b'diavad, if we didn't check in advance, and he tells us, lo nesalafti, I didn't faint, so then it'll be good b'diavad. But if he walks away, we didn't know in advance whether he knows how to control an animal, and b'diavad, we don't, after the shechita, we don't know either, then it'll be also, there is no rov, the rov mitzui meitzu shechita lo misalfim. These are the two versions of Ravina, that's pshat number five and pshat number six. We reject both of the pshatim of Ravina because we hold they're both not correct. We hold Rav Mitzvah Meitzu Shechita Mumchim Heim. The Rav people know the halachas, and also the Gemara says Lalufi Loich Hashinan. That's the first and the second wide lines on the Yomud on Gimel Amud Beis. So the Melchamas had a comment. Why does the Gemara switch to Loshen? Rav Mitzvah Meitzu Shechita Mumchim Heim. Mumchim means he knows the halachas, but Lalufi Loich Hashinan. You don't have to be choshish. Maybe he fainted. Maybe he doesn't know how to control it. Why don't they have? Why don't you have a parallel expression by the mumchim? Mumchim means to know the dinim, and lalufi means to faint in the middle. So Ramban says that there's a difference. Lalufi loichashinan, you're not choshish at all, and even lachatchil, you don't even have to ask him, because that's a miut sheina matzoi. But rov mitzvah meitzu shechita mumchim heim, that's a roiv, and there's a miut hamatzoi. So lachatchil, if the shechet is still around, and he brings a mashal. Bram brings a rasha from the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara had a suffix, Hamaska Bais Lachaber B'yud Dalid. If you rent an apartment on Erev Pesach in the morning, it's Cheskasa Baruch. Arein chaskasa body. Chaskasa means a ruba deleisa kamanda. You have a right to follow the ruba deleisa kamanda. Rove Jews who have apartments who rent, rove religious Jews who rent an apartment, were by the comments, lel bedikas comments. But there's a miyut who are not by the comments. The Gemara had a shana, can you rely on the rove? The Gemara asks, lamayin afkamina, even if there is a rove, l'shale. When you rent the apartment from the balabas, ask him, Mr. So and so, Mr. Schwartz, will you by the comments or not? What, you're embarrassed to ask him? Ask him. So you see from the Gemara, whenever this, even if there is a roiv, that something is lahakel, hechadab shel mibdak patkinon v'lo samchinon aruba d'lo sekamon. That's what you see from that Gemara. So the Ramban explains, yeah, that's when you have a miyot hamotzim. When you have a miyot chain hamotzim, then you're not even mechuyev lechatchila to ask. So that's how the Ramban explains our common practice, that we only check for sirchas on the lungs. We don't check for all the other treifas. Why? Because sirchas on the lungs are a miyot hamotzim, and all the other treifas are miyut she'eino motzi. And that's the question, what percentage is that? When you talk about a miyut ha-motzi, what percent? Let's say there's certain vegetables where there's a problem of bug infestation, and others where there's less of a problem. So how much of a probability do you have to have? Let's say I'm going to eat such a portion of vegetables, salad. So how much of a likelihood do you have to have that you may be eating a bug that we should require, if it's 50-50, so sofik derais of the chumrah. So you better check for bugs. That's minat Torah. But if it's less than 50-50, so you have a right minat Torah to go baser roif. So, but if it's a miyot hamotzei, then the Ramban says it's a chumrah midirabbanan. It's not minat Torah. It's a chumrah midirabbanan to be bodek if you have a roif that has a miyot hamotzei. So what's considered a miyot hamotzei? That's the shayla. So the Mishkanes Yankiv is quoted by the Darki Tshuva. Mishkanes Yankiv says 10%. And they point out that in Eretz Yisrael today, the percentage of animals that have sirchas on the lungs that make them chafers is less than 10%. It's only 7%. So it comes out of chumrah that if you're eating vegetables and there's an 8% chance that you'll be eating a bug, so according to the Mishkanes Yankiv, it's not a problem. Only 10% and above is a miyot hamotzei. Less than 10%, you don't have to be biting. Rabbi Yashiv says no, but it doesn't correspond to reality. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not 10% of the animals have treifas of sirchas, only 7%, and still the Ramban claims that that's a miyot hamotzei. And he thinks that in the days of the Ramban, it was the same percentage as it is in Eretz Yisrael today. Maybe after Hakamas HaMedina, everything changed. Maybe everything got worse, maybe everything got better. I don't know. That's what Rabbi Yashiv said, 7%. You see, 7% is a miyot hamotzei. So that's a shailan din. What percentage is considered a miyot hamotzei? But that's the Ramban, the famous Ramban is over here. On the riff, on the Gimel on the base.
The Rashi would claim whatever the percent was, it's because it's an Eretz Yisrael, and that's the
percentage.
It was 2%.
So
that's the way it was
in
the
Rambat.
If all of a sudden it would go down, they did some new feature for the cows, and now it will only be 2%.
No, then.
Cows are healthier.
No, then you wouldn't have to be Boidik. Then it's a Miyot Sheinah Motzei.
So
he's assuming. No, right now it happens to be 7%. From all the slaughterhouses, that they know that the percentage of treifas because of sircha is 7%. So we don't have any evidence whether it used to be worse or better. So because of lack of evidence, so he assumes that that it's 7%. He assumes that it was always like that.
If it goes down,
then you won't have to check the lungs for sircha. So it'll become a miyot she'eino motzei. Same thing checking for shatnas. The pashtus says, I am mechuyev to check a new suit for shatnas. So they tell you which there's certain suits that you have a problem. So what percentage? So if it's a 7 or 10% likelihood that it's going to have shatnas, that's called the miyot hamotzei. So you got to check. If it's less than that, the shatnas people tell you is less than a 7%, less than 10% chance you're going to have shatnas. So then the pashta says mikra din, you don't have to check for shatnas. But Moshe Feinstein has about checking for bugs. So he writes in his tshuva that you can't rely on the roiv. Because this rive is because of human activities, because the farmers used to spray insecticide, pesticide on the vegetables. So a rive hatali b'maisa b'ni adam is not a valid rive. You can't rely on that. That's a gemara. But the pashta says that the gemara says that only by kiddushin, by inyane eshesish, by chumer d'arayis, so the gemara has it by karbonis. So when it comes to dinim chamurim, they made a chumrah midrabbanan. The roiv hatali b'maisa b'ni adam should not be relied on. Is it a din across the board that roiv hatali b'maisa b'ni adam is no good midrabbanan? It's no good. So the Shev Shmeitzer wants to make a machlekes harishonim. He thinks that some rishonim say like that. That's not only mishum chumra darayis. It's a mikra din. Rabbi told him, "Ma'aseh mi'alim is no good." But the Pashta says that it's not so. The Pashta says in the footnotes on the bottom of the Shev Shmeitzer, they point out that the rishonim that he thought disagreed don't really disagree. They say the same. It's only a chumra midirabbanim mishum. Eishesish mishum chumadai rais mikra din we assume al pipash, not like Ramosh, that a rav hatalib b'maisa miyanim is also a rav, unless the Gemara says you have to be machmer. So these were the six pshatim in the Mishnah. Okay, you gotta know all the six pshatim. I don't know for the b'china, you gotta know all the six pshatim in the Mishnah. You gotta know pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, the b'china is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. You have to make up when are people free to attend Shia. Okay, so when does the Shia resume officially? After finals. When are the finals over?
23rd. Thursday the 27th.
Thursday, no? I think we still
have forgot already. Willig mentioned, I think, the 27th, Thursday.
Here it says on the schedule. Thursday the 27th, that's what it says. Okay, Thursday the 27th, the shiurim resume. Now, are there people interested in having a shiur before that? Some of the students not in college. Okay, so we'll have to negotiate.
And what time, Rabbi? I remember last year we had a different time for June. We'll do it in the morning again.
Probably. Okay, we'll have to negotiate.